to the skies very high.
Hello and welcome to Talking PPG Radio. My name is Will Jones. The following information is not for training, but personal experiences and reflections on the world of power paragliding as I know. All guests of Talking PPG Radio have formed their own ideas, thoughts, and opinions on the world of power paragliding. They are not necessarily the thoughts or opinions of Talking PPG Radio. You may agree or disagree to what you hear. Talking PPG Radio is here to get conversations, thoughts, ideas about the world of power paragliding. Safety first. I highly recommend a qualified instructor. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoy. Hey, Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio. I am going to start off with a question to you. How many of you know how to take care of your wing? Yeah, that's the same here. Yes, I know how to rosette it up, put it in the bag, keep it out of UV. Can clean it out, but how about ordering a line? Or if I get a tear, should I fix it or send it off? What about the brake knots? These questions that, I've been in it 2 years. I mean, yes, you can call somebody and ask them about it. Or ask hopefully somebody there locally that you fly with. If you're lucky enough to have somebody to fly with, maybe they know. But you know what? Sometimes it's just best to call someone who really deals with wings on a daily basis. And I got a chance to talk to Michelle Danielle of Paramotor City Glider Shop out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. And the cool thing about it, she puts out 2 DVDs. One is called Wing Tips, and the other one is Understanding Your Wing Inspection. And I don't know how many of you guys know you should get your wing inspected. And the Wing Tips, a lot of information. I have to thank her for coming on and giving me her time. I didn't do my homework for this. What I had planned to do is get the DVDs and go over them and then get in touch with her and then we'll talk about it. Well, we're kind of doing this kind of backwards. I kind of got, okay, I'm going to call her. And we got to talk. And I'd like to thank her again for sending me the DVDs. I've gone over them and it's like, wow, a lot of information in these DVDs. We kind of go over some of it. And you may have to go back and listen to this again. I mean, it is that much information. And the Wingtips is a 45-minute video that goes over, it goes in more detail of what some of the stuff you will hear about taking care of your wing. And I don't know about you, because if you have sent your wing in for an inspection, if you like me, I got a wing, and you'll hear on this that did it pass or fail? That's all I want to know. How much time I got? Well, step by step, talk about the inspection, understanding your wing inspection. So you definitely got to check the. Definitely a get item. If you're like me, you got all these other PPG DVDs, and you have definitely got to add Wing Tips and also understanding your wing inspection to your library or your collection of PPG DVDs. So you can go to, now this is weird because she was saying that the email address to American Flyer PPG wasn't working, but you can still put in www.americanflyerspg.com or just Google Paramotor City. And then it'll come up and you'll see east and west, and she's actually at the west, Albuquerque, of course, New Mexico. So, and anyway, it was a great conversation, and I'd like to thank her again for coming on. So, and what I have in the next section for you is basically Terry Lucky. Got to go to his fly-in, and I had to call and chit-chat with him. He's becoming a regular, so really like that his cheap strike. So I just want to give him a call and thank him for a great fly-in. So, but anyway, we're going to keep it short. I guess that's what you, I guess you would call that. Anyway. Hey, Will Jones Talking PPG Radio. Sit back, relax, and thank you for listening.
Hey guys, welcome back. Will Jones Talking PPG Radio. On the line with me today is Michelle Daniel. One of the things I was telling you guys, I wanted to get more content as far as on the radio show talking about wings and motors. And well, one of the people that when I first started getting into power paragliding, I guess I actually caught her on starting to power paragliding. I think it was a video out several years ago that she was actually training someone on it, and she has a Paramotor City glider shop, which is out in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I wanted to call her, and she has a DVD out about wing care. And one of the things that I myself, I'm a motor man, of course, which I guess most of us guys out there are motor guys, and don't know a lot about the wings other than it's over my head. I know how to kite it, and as far as taking care of it and things like that, so I wanted to call an expert in the field of wing care. How are you today, Michelle Danielle?
Hi, Will. Hi. Yeah, this is Michelle Danielle here. You know, I listened to you speak a little bit, and I would love to just, you know, talk about everything I know about wings, and I just want to make sure I say that I am not like a real expert on wings. I was trained in the inspection and repair of wings by the best. But there's so much to know. It's kind of like weather in our sport. Just when you think you know a little bit about weather, you find out you don't know that much. So I will share as much as I can, and when I don't know something, I'll make sure I tell you that.
Oh, great, great, great. Well, I'll tell you, I know you, and I'm sure there's a lot of people out there know you, but I try to also cater to the new people that are actually looking for information and stuff. Could you give us some information about your background as far as how long you've been in power paragliding? I know you and your husband, I guess, got into it years ago, and so could you give the guys and gals, hopefully, out there that are listening some information about yourself?
Sure. My husband and I actually started power paragliding in 1997. He saw it in a magazine. Nobody in New Mexico at the time had ever done it or even had one. And so when he showed it to me, I thought he was crazy, you know, and I just told him, you know, flat out, he can't do it. And, of course, you know, like all women with their husbands, you know, kind of sulking a little bit. And, you know, before we knew it, we had gone to New York. We tried to get trained. We bought equipment. We sort of trained ourselves. We fell in love with it. It was like our passion. We missed a lot of work. We broke a lot of equipment, a lot of props. And as soon as though people here in New Mexico saw that there were a couple people doing that, people wanted to get trained. They wanted to learn how to fly themselves. And I knew that if anybody was going to do it without killing themselves, that there had to be an instructor in the area. So I decided that we would become a school. And we learned all we could. We learned a lot from the best in the country. And little by little, we started our school, and then we bought a field, and then we opened up a glider shop. So that's it in a nutshell. 11 years later, here I am, sort of semi-retired from training. Mm-hmm. We still have a very nice big flying field and club. And now I basically run glider shop, which is the wing shop.
Oh, excellent, excellent. Because it's funny, I had heard. First off, tell me your husband's name again. It was Jerry, is that? Or
Jerry.
Jerry.
His name is Jerry.
Jerry, okay. I've heard a little bit about his, was it rescue that he, or search and rescue kind of thing he had started. I heard about, is he still doing some of that?
Yeah, you know, we are. We are a full-fledged search and rescue team here in New Mexico, registered with the state.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Unfortunately, they don't call us that much anymore because with the use of GPSs and cell phones, people just don't get lost like they used to.
Like they used to.
Which I guess is a good thing.
Yes.
Yeah, which is a good thing. But every once in a while, we get called out. And we've done quite a few of them here. And Ed Poscher, our coordinator and club member, he's a real expert in the field, so he coordinates everything, and it's a really well-organized team here in New Mexico.
Okay. I had talked to Barry a little bit about it. I know he was trying to get something started there in Texas, and I know kind of mentioned that Jerry was actually one of the, I guess, founders of trying to get power paragliding into that search and rescue stuff, so which is really cool.
Yeah.
Really cool. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, no. I was going to say, I had heard that you had retired, actually, from training a year ago, and you said you're partly retired. So are you?
Well, I did retire, and okay. I want to be retired, spent a lot of years in training, and
yes.
I loved it. You know,
yes.
It's always a thrill to see somebody solo. But, you know, as anybody knows who trains, you give up, you know, the best air, because the best air is reserved mm-hmm. for your students. When everybody's having fun, you're training in the field. And since I got into the wing thing, I decided, you know, I was going to give up training. And once in a while, just, you know, occasionally, I'll take on a student. But for the most part, yeah, I don't advertise that I'm still training.
That you're still training, okay. That's well. Guys, if you've heard, like, they started in 1997, and they kind of trained itself. We have enough qualified instructors out there that you should actually find a qualified instructor and get trained by. So, knocks and props, and it's, well, you're just hearing that, trying to train yourself, and that's one of the things that, guys, you don't want to do. You know, you can save your equipment.
Absolutely not, because we went to the School of Hard Knocks as far as PBG training goes, and it wasn't until Alan Chocolate came to Albuquerque and actually launched for us that everything started to click, because we hadn't even seen one take off except on video, and things started to click. So, wow, an instructor can save you lots of time, lots of money, lots of bruises, and it's just the best way to go.
Best way to go. All right, well, cool. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to kind of get into the wings here. You can go to the Paramotor City Glider Shop at AmericaFlyerPPG.com, and it's...
Well,
yes.
Actually, that's an old email. Okay, now, it'll direct you there because I have it. Set up that way, but our new website,
paramotorcity.com. Paramotorcity.com, okay, all right.
Yeah.
Paramotorcity.com.
Like I said, American Flyer will take you there, but actually if you use the American Flyer email,
uh-huh.
it will not work. That's why we changed the name. If for some reason it stopped working, couldn't ever get it working again. And so if anybody out there has tried to contact me with information at AmericanFlyerPPG.com.
Okay.
That email goes somewhere out in Nana Land, and it never gets to me.
Never did. Okay. All right. Well, there you go. All right. PPG, Paramotorcity.com. Okay. All right. Well, yeah, it actually redirected me, too. It's funny because up in HTTP, it'll go to it. But anyway, all right. Hey, all right. Well, wings. I've been in it for 2 years. And like I said, I'm a mechanic by one of the many trades, of course, motors. But wings, as far as, you know, what should I know what as far as care? And I know we can't go into, you know, super details or anything like that, but what would be the first thing you would actually say to, like, a beginner?
Would say to beginner, because I think in this sport, guys, and there are more guys flying than gals, but
mm-hmm.
guys, they're more comfortable with their motor than with their wing. They're more willing to get into learning how their motor works and how to fix it, because it's mechanical. They've been around mechanical mm-hmm. things all their life.
Right.
And I think we talked about this a little bit before, but what I discovered is that guys, you know, the wings are like the feminine part of their of their PPG experience.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, they love to be around them, and they love to fly them, but they kind of don't understand them, and because of that, they tend to kind of ignore the important parts of their wing.
Yes.
You know, I've asked this many times, and guys will honestly say the truth about it. And I say, you know, if you're in the air, would you rather something wrong go with your motor or something wrong go with your wing? And, of course, the answer is your motor, of course, because if you have a good wing, you know, you can just glide down and do a pretty nice, safe landing. But if you lose your wing, you're messed up.
Right.
You know, it's pretty much a bad situation.
Yes.
And wings aren't all that complicated. You know, like women, they aren't all that complicated.
What?
Just
wait a minute.
Things to them, they will serve you well.
Okay.
So basically, you know, for guys, you know, don't be afraid to get into your wing a little bit. And
mm-hmm.
and some guys don't think that, you know, they have any talent or anything in them that they can actually do some things on their own with their wing. And so instead of him actually sending it into a shop to have a look at it, sometimes they just completely ignore it. And we get a lot of wings in that have never had an inspection, and they're 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years old.
Oh, wow.
And all of a sudden the guy says, wow, you know, this could be dangerous, and then they send it in. So don't be afraid to kind of get close to your wing and talk to me or read or call somebody or do something, but start to ask some questions about it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. As like I said, I have two wings, and basically I kind of stuff them, put them in the bag. You know, I you kind of look when you put that first inflation, try to get the wall built and stuff, as far as taking that extra step of actually, okay, let me check and let me look and make sure there's nothing going wrong. I'll be the first to tell you, I'll look, that quick visual look, but as far as that, okay, let me check the lines and make sure and no hose and things like that. I'm the first minute. I will skip that because of course you want to get in the air, you know. So
you do. And of course, you know, if your motor's not running, you're not going to get in the air.
Right.
You know it right away. But, you know, you really don't know if your lines are stretched with your wing. I mean, you may kind of notice that you're kind of blowing some launches here and there, but it's not something you can visually hear or see as well like you can with your motor.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reason, actually, that I made or put that little DVD together, Wingtips, because I wanted to give some of the people out there an opportunity to, without embarrassment, or sometimes there is nobody else in the PPG field around them in their areas, that they could get a DVD and they could watch it at their leisure and kind of get a little bit more familiar with their wing and do small tasks that don't require you to send it into an inspection station. You know, little things like, you know, taking a line off and putting it back correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's one of the top lines, or the upper lines, because if you'll notice on your wings, the lines are all basically, they're not sewn together as far as the way they cascade from the risers to the fabric. They're just sort of in a series of like these sort of slip knots that you take in and out, and then you finally get to the line that you need to change.
Mm-hmm.
Things like even becoming familiar with terminology. You know, I constantly get guys call me and say, you know, I got a string that's, and that's okay. I know what they mean.
But, you know, that's a good
terminology.
Thing. Okay.
You know, you got line, and you have risers, and then when they start to know about A lines and B lines and C lines, they really feel actually better about their whole flying experience, and they get confidence in it, and that can help you in your flying experience. So this little DVD has things like this that you can learn, and also you can watch over and over again so that it all starts to come together after a while. And it's not, you know, complete. There are things in there that I wish I could do over a little bit.
Yeah.
And believe me, making that DVD was a monumental effort because, you know, the script and, you know, trying to get it so that you're not wasting the cameraman's time by saying the wrong word and having to start over. It was a lot of work to put that together, and even though I wanted to add things or change things a little bit, I decided not to to ask the cameraman to stick with me to do that.
Please, can we rewind?
Yeah, and we had a lot of bloopers and a lot of fun times doing that too, but have you seen the DVD?
Well, see, it's funny because when I contacted you, I was like, well, I need to, and I said, well, let me get the DVD so I could do my homework before I actually talk to her. But when I finally got in touch with you, and it was like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and order it so I can do my homework so I can say, hey, go a little bit more in detail on the DVD, which maybe that's what I'll do. I'll call you back after I see the DVD, and maybe if I have a few questions to talk to you about, well, I didn't quite understand this, or maybe you can explain it to us better. But no, I haven't. I do plan to get it. And guys, it is about a 45-minute long. It's called Wingtips, and you can get in touch with her at paramotorcity.com. Her telephone number and all the contact information's on there about it. But yes, I do plan to get it, and I do suggest everybody else out there actually check it out. You also have you had a different one too. Oh, what goes into inspecting a wing? Is that Understanding Your Wing Inspection.
Well, yeah, and I also made another one.
Yeah,
Understanding Your Wing Inspection, because, of course, after an inspection, and if it passes or even if it doesn't, I send a report with each inspection.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this. I know guys, they want to know if it passed or if it didn't.
Right, yeah, that's all we want to know.
Yeah, but they don't really look into the report as much because they don't understand. And I don't think half the people realize what goes into the typical inspection.
Mm-hmm.
We were trained by a very fine team out of Germany. And so it takes us about 4 hours minimum.
Really?
Do an inspection on a wing.
Oh, wow.
And we have all the equipment. We just don't look at the wing and, you know, pull on it and tug on it and that kind of stuff. We actually have a porosity meter that tests the porosity, and the machine is, you know, certified. We have something that checks the tear resistance, actually a meter also, and we use those numbers to give you a pass-fail. We have a machine that breaks the line and lets us know what kind of load it took to break that line to see if it's in the ranges that it needs to be in. We have hoists, you know, where we pull up the wing and we check all the interior of the wing.
Mm.
We have charts on file where we actually measure your lines too to see if they've shrunk or stretched, and so we can tell you a little bit more about your wing as far as if it's in the correct profile and stuff. So it's an involved process, and we wanted to make that available so that if somebody was really interested to see why we put a number of 400 on your porosity test.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want you to know what that number means and why that number isn't necessarily a super good number for one wing and not such a good number for another wing.
Yes.
You know, you have to know what the number means based on your wing. They're all manufactured different. They're all manufactured not the same. Some wings are made to be easier to inflate and more fun to fly. Some wings are made just to last, you know, for 20 years.
Right.
But the wing is not that fun to fly because it's so heavy and that kind of stuff. So those numbers mean something to your wing, and if you're interested, you know, that kind of information is available on that DVD.
Oh, sure. Yes, because I actually ended up getting a used wing from someone, and he actually sent the report, too. And like you said, I'm looking pass-fail. Okay. My God. And I think he'd even only said, well, you have this much more time possibly on it, if I remember correctly. And I've always heard that you should, you see, what, a year to how many hours is before you should actually send it in for inspection?
Well,
what would you suggest?
I would suggest that if you have bought the wing brand new and it hasn't been in any kind of incidents or been damaged in any way, and if you haven't flown it excessively or in strong maneuvers,
mm-hmm.
that you could probably wait 2 years before you sent it in for your first inspection.
Okay.
If you know it looks good and you've treated it well, if you've gotten a wing and you're not too sure about it, I would have it inspected immediately. So you know you can have the confidence that wing is going to serve you well. Otherwise, after a couple years, it should be every year or after 100 hours use.
After 100 hours use. Okay. All right, that's good information.
And that's a lot of use. I mean, you figure if you do 1 hour every 3 days, that adds up to about 100 hours. So that's pretty good use.
Yeah, it is. And it's funny because on average, I mean, with our weather being crazy here, I bet you 50 or less hours is probably put on a wing. Here Midwest wash,
with the weather, and you know, you can't make the time for it, you're doing it on weekends,
exactly.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But the thing I want people to remember is that a wing ages even when it isn't flown.
Really? Okay.
So just because you've had a wing in a box for 4 years, that doesn't mean that it's not due for an inspection.
Oh, okay. I've never heard that before.
Anytime it sits there, absolutely. I mean, just like our bodies, if we put ourselves in a closet, we would still age in 4 years. And then a wing does also. Maybe not as dramatically,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, lines were made to be stretched and flown and under load, you know, to keep their proper profiles and stuff like that. So, you know, and the basics of wing of wing care for those who just want to know or do the minimum is, you know, take care of your wing. Treat it like you would like to be treated.
Hmm.
If it's cold, put it in some place that's warm. If it's hot, put it in a place that's cool. If it's humid outside, you know, try to store it in a drier place. Clean the debris out of the cells, because when you stuff your sack or fold it and you've got dirt in the inner cells and you're rubbing that dirt inside, it's wearing, wearing it out. You know, I see many times guys will take their wing out of their bag, they'll set it up in the field, then they go warm up their motor. Well, your wing has sat there for half hour, 45 minutes by the time you get ready to fly. So it sat in the sun that long.
Yeah.
So if you fly for 45 minutes, that means that if you do that on every flight, you've lost half of the life of your wing with the UV rays that have hit the wing and done its damage. So warm your motor up first, get it all ready, then take your wing out. Well, you know, when you've had an awesome flight, gather your wing up, put it in the shade, you know. I know it's hard, but if you can pack it up and then go have a beer with your buddies, you're going to have a longer life on your wing.
That's great.
Don't store it damp. You know, if you've just flown on a grassy field and it's wet, you know, gather it loosely, put it in the house, kind of let it air dry. Now, we live in New Mexico, dry climates. We don't have problems with humidity, and our problem is dust.
Dust,
the wing is dusty. It feels dry, just like your skin. So every once in a while, what we do, because I'm not a big believer in washing your wing in water. We'll take ours out to the park where it's just a little bit damp in the morning. We lay it out, clean it out, just sort of rub the dust off, hydrate it just a little bit, and then put it away.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it's pretty much common sense. Common sense stuff.
You would think, you know, but I think it's just you're, like me, I'm thinking, well, I know I need to do something a little extra here to this wing, or, you know, and maybe I put a little bit too much into thinking that, okay, this is way too technical, maybe, okay, just stuff it in a bag, you know. And I will say, I'm one of those guys too, I got a leaf that's in my wing that I've probably been needing to get it out for probably months now. Every time I inflate it and look at it, I said, man, I need to get that leaf out. So,
well, it's true. You know, we've had guys that were missing launch after launch, and turns out they had about like a pound of dirt near the trailing edge, near the tip. So, you know, clean your wing out every once in a while. You know, take it to the park, do it on the grass. What else can I say? You know, things to watch out for that I've seen happen with wings that weren't too good is guys flying with, you know, broken lines.
Wow.
And it's common because you just think, oh, you know, one little line couldn't really mean that much.
Yeah.
And, of course, it depends where the line is, because there's more load on the lines that are near the center of the wing and near the leading edge. So, you know, those you got to really be cautious with, because remember, when you lost one of the lines, all the load of that wing goes on all the other lines. So wings are really made well, I have to say that.
Yeah.
You know, they really are. They take a lot of abuse, and amazingly they fly and keep us alive. You know, sometimes, or after you push the envelope too much, there's going to be a point where, you know, the wing isn't going to be as forgiving anymore. And another thing that an inspection will do with looking at line lengths and stuff, it can really make your wing, after a few years, fly better again.
Oh, really? Wow, okay. I guess the right lengths and everything's back to factory specs, or...
As close to it as possible,
we can
determine if a few lines have stretched, and then you can make corrections on just a line here or there, you know, that kind of stuff. And it really helped with
why am I going kind of right?
Yeah.
You know, I ran into, I've been flying a lot with Phil and Cindy Atkins this summer, and I don't know if you're familiar with the name, but Phil actually had that similar problem. He found a line. He couldn't figure out why he kept on just kind of going to the right, and so we laid the wing out and was looking for a line, and found a line that was pulled or something was wrong. It had a snag.
It had a knot in it or something like that.
And it was, this was one line, one line and fixed that line, and he said, it's perfect. It's right back the way it's supposed to be.
There you go.
That was amazing. That's amazing.
And, you know, that's right, because, you know, not just your lines, not just the fabric, you know, the risers, you know, you got to make sure that your quicklings are on correctly, that they're snug down tight. You know, an unlocked quicklink it has way less strength than when it's locked in. I actually saw this at one of the fly-ins where a brand new wing was taken out of a bag and the quick links were not screwed down tight. They were actually open.
Oh, wow.
And after a pilot had done some strong maneuvers and landed, the quick links had bent open.
Mm.
And so, you know, look for those kind of things. Look for wear on the risers. Risers, depending on the pilot and the hang points that they attach to, they can wear really funny in some spots, so you do not want to lose one of your riser straps or something like that. Making sure your quick links are on right. Even those little black O-rings that we think don't really mean that much, you know, those are important because they keep the lines together on the quick links so they don't rub and catch and snag and wear out right there at the quick link where you wouldn't even maybe look to see if your line was worn out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I do suggest, you know, try not to do repairs yourself as far as like sewing and that kind of stuff because an inspection station will use the proper thread, which is UV treated and the right strength. They use the right needle size.
All of that's taken into consideration. Wow, okay.
Yes, all the right repair tape that needs to go on there. Stitch length is very important. When you're sewing lines together, if the stitches are too tight, it actually weakens the line. They just have to be just the right stitch length. If we make a mistake in making a line, we cut that piece of the line off and start over. We never sew and then re-sew. Even the O-rings. I buy O-ring special, and they're $1.50 a piece when I put a new one on a wing. But I buy the special ones because a lot of the rubber O-rings that you can buy at Walmart or any auto store, they emit kind of petroleum.
Right, products, yes, right, yes,
and
yes.
They will damage the nylon on that covers the line because you have an inner core, which is the strength, and then a protective outer sheathing, which is usually made of, you know, kind of a nylon material.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So all those factors, you know, it's really worth it to have somebody do it. Now, the Wingtip DVD has had some great pointers on how you can do things yourself and save a lot of money. You can patch your wing correctly yourself, and it shows you in detail how to do that. You can change a line. You can take off that line and measure it and call. Or I have a page on my website where all you do is click on the link, fill in the information, email it to me, and then I can make the exact line you need usually in one day. But you can learn how to change a line yourself so easy and save you all that shipping and time, whereas you might send it into an inspection station. So,
well, great.
There's a time to send it in and a time to do stuff on your
own. Do it yourself. And that's, and a lot of people are scared to do that. So, well, that's great. That's great. Guys, yeah, like I said, go to paramotorcity.com. You definitely got to check out the website. Lots of information.
Check out that website, Will.
Yes.
And, sorry to interrupt, but I also wanted to mention that, you know, I do small repairs also, but Elizabeth Guerin and in Christmas, Florida, we started out doing the glider shop together. Her website's paratour.com.
Paratour.
She also has a glider shop there in Florida. And
I may try
to call
her.
Big repairs. Yeah, when you trash out like the whole five cells on the tip of your wing, she can put it back together and talk about a reasonable price and a super fantastic job. Either shop these days, you know, can service you. So
are you
to make sure people do
she
that
does the major repairs? You just do the minor repairs. Is that the?
Yes, she does most of the major repairs.
Okay.
I'm starting to get into that just now.
Okay. All right.
Doing some of the repairs.
Sure.
But it helps, you know, to have a shop on the west side of the country too,
yes.
For pilots.
Yes.
Well, great. I tell you, lots of great information there. I tell you what, like I said, I'll do. I'm going to get your DVD, and I'm going to look at it, and if I have any more questions, I'll get back in touch with you, and maybe, hey, I didn't quite understand that, just kind of talk about the DVD more, a little bit more in detail.
Well, I'd like your feedback, and I'd really like some honest feedback as to whether you thought it was helpful.
Okay. Absolutely.
You thought it was pretty good, but you know what? It didn't cover this area, because the reason I did it is because I want pilots to be able to use it. And one more exciting thing that I have planned for the future is we're putting together kind of a mobile glider shop.
Really?
And we want to do more traveling to the fly-ins and have a shop available at these fly-ins, you know, when a guy goes and he breaks a line and then he thinks he's done for the weekend. You know, we'll be on site, and we can do repairs, we can do lines, we'll carry
lines
and kits and that kind of stuff.
That is very cool. Excellent. Well, all right. I tell you, I know you're a busy person, guys. We've been kind of emailing and back and forth a little bit, trying to catch up with each other. So I'll keep it short. And like I said, I'll get the DVD and check it out, and I'll give you a call back, and we'll talk some more about wings. But I guess that's a really good introduction to let people know more about wings, and don't be scared of them. So, you know, look.
That's right, Will. And, you know, I really appreciate you having me on. And
thank you for coming on.
If you have, you know, any other questions, I'd be happy to go over anything. Or even at some point, I don't know if you do anything live at all, but, you know, people have questions or comments. You know, I certainly would be more than willing to be on and answer those.
Okay. All right. Well, great. Thank you very much.
Before we sign off, I want to just take the time to personally invite you and everybody out there in the listening audience to our place in Albuquerque, Paramotor City. We have a great club, a great field, a nice kind of what we call our pavilion and clubhouse.
Yes.
And if you're ever in the area or ever plan to, like, you're going through the area,
yes,
please call me. Stop in. You know, we'll put you up, and we always, you know, use any excuse to have a party there to feel. Feel free to stop by. You don't even have to call in advance.
Okay. Well, I definitely will. I tell you what, I remember listening to you on the other PPG show, and you was, you know, describing your field and everything that you were, you know, about the field and everything, and I'll put a link to that where everybody can hear that interview too. So that's great. Sounds like it's a beautiful place to fly, and
it's different, but it's a lot of fun.
Well, guys, there you go. Personal invitation out to fly at Paramotor City. We got some wing information, and I would like to thank you very much again for coming on.
Okay, Will. Call back anytime.
Well, there you go. Did you get all that information? I mean, really. You might want to go back and listen again. Like I said, at this time, I'd like to thank Michelle Danielle for coming on, giving me time. We will talk again. Like I said, I did get a chance to look at the DVDs, and wow, a lot of information. It's just, and you can hear the passion in her voice about the paraglider, the wing. You definitely got to get those DVDs I was telling you about, wing tips, and understanding your wing inspection. You definitely got to put a part of your library of DVDs on PPGs. So go to, like I said, www.americanflyerppg.com, or just Google Paramotor City. And like I said, there'll be an east and a west. Of course, she's in Albuquerque, New Mexico, west. And it's actually paramotorcity.net is what you can put in. So www.paramotorcity.net. And just unbelievable. And I'm going to call her back here soon. And like I said, we're going to chit-chat some more. And wow. So hang on anyway. We got another ride for you to go on here with Terry Lucky. And we just talk about the fly-in that that Terry Scott and several of the Michigan guys there put on in September, and had a great time. So thank you for listening. Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio.
Hey guys, Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio. Well, I got a chance to go to the Beach Run fly-in, which was in Holland, Michigan.
Terry Lucky and Scott. What's Scott's last name?
Scott Miller.
Scott Miller. I couldn't remember his last name. Invited us all up. I guess this is the second time, Terry, or is this your third annual?
This would be our third.
Third annual.
In the fall, I think. Yeah. And then we also have a spring fly-in each year, which is less widely publicized.
I remember you telling me about that. Well, it was a great fly-in. The weather, I mean, I got to fly a lot. The wind kind of shifted out going to the lake on us right before we got up there, the way I understand. But other than that, man, it was really nice. This was September 19th and the 20th, I think it was, yes, in Holland, Michigan, at the Park Township Airport. Terry, welcome back, man. As I was saying, great flying. I enjoyed it. I'm not quite sure how many people showed up. It looked like you had a nice turnout.
Yeah, you know, it was of course, as you noticed, we're glad you came, and as you noticed, it's quite an informal affair. We don't do registration, and we don't really get a physical count of people who are there.
Yeah.
Although, somebody walked around and counted motors one day, and they felt as though that there was, I think Saturday afternoon was the high point.
Yes.
And, there was, they counted over 50.
Oh, wow.
Suspects there, so,
yeah. Suspects. Wait a minute, hold on. You have the right to remain. Hold on, I'm sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not the cop show. But anyway. Well, cool, man.
Yeah, so I think that was probably, again, our largest turnout. So it was fun. Had a lot of people there. Scott pretty much single-handedly whipped up a lunch for everybody. And
I missed that. I forgot all about that. I ended up going to, what did I end up doing? I ended up doing something. I forgot all about that, man. I missed that.
Yeah.
Man, shame on me. What was I thinking?
Yeah, I mean, it was ham and mashed potatoes. And I think that was on, I can't remember if that was
Saturday. That was Saturday. Oh, no.
Saturday, yeah.
Football. I went to watch football. Daggone it. What was I thinking?
Went to the bar, watched the football.
Yeah, so. Very cool, man. Very cool. Everybody seemed like they enjoyed themselves. Beautiful. Oh, absolutely beautiful location. And that airport and Friday night, I actually got to talk to the guy that runs the, that's in charge there. What was his name?
Brian Fredericks is the manager of the airport. Right?
Very nice guy. Nice guy.
Yes.
And we talked for a while. It was a group of us was sitting there talking, and he was telling us about some ultralight stuff. And very nice location, man. It's a beautiful place to fly. Absolutely.
It is, and you know, even though for us it's 20 miles from
my place, or 25 miles. Oh.
It's I have more convenient location, so I don't really get out there as often as I should. And I should get out there a lot because, as you say, you take off and. 3 minutes later, you're over the beach.
It's
spectacular when you're there.
Which most everybody, guys, when you go there, basically you climb up, get some altitude, and you got, what is that, a couple miles?
I think it's 2 miles.
To get to the beach and stuff. So it's really strange because you're looking down and you're like, okay, of course you're looking for land out areas and stuff like that, you know. And I'm like, am I up high enough? So next thing you know, I'm at 3,000 feet now.
The jump over from the airport to the beach, even though it's just a couple of miles,
yeah.
It's a little bit intimidating. There's some,
it is.
You know,
yeah.
It looks forested, and of course there are some subdivisions and a couple of soccer fields and things you could use in a pinch. And we've already scouted the subdivisions, and they don't have overhead wire, so they do have potential. It beats a treetop. So
yeah.
Emergency landing.
There were some guys that were pretty brave. I was like, man, they are down low. But hey, you know, we all, you know, kind of take our own chances. So, but man,
those are the guys that haven't had their power out yet.
That's
their engine out.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. Here I am, way up there, and they're down there, and like, it's okay. You'll find a bean field one day, you know. So, but
if you're lucky, you'll find a bean field.
Exactly. There you go. I didn't think. Yeah, that's how it is. But is it? You're gonna? It's definitely gonna have it next year. I mean, is it something to look forward to?
I think so. You know, the only thing there's actually four of us involved. You mentioned Scott Miller.
Oh, really? I didn't realize. Okay.
Yeah, there's Craig Brecken is another flying associate of us here, and Jay Langens.
Okay.
He actually lives in Holland.
Uh-huh.
And he's the one, he was the one working on that four-stroke backpacker, sort of demonstrating that.
Yes.
The four of us actually all participated in this, and on the first year, I think I did most of the organization, such as it was. But then since then, I'm doing less actually, and they're all pitching in, so it's very fun. But
yeah.
we next year, I'm sure will be something that we'll consider doing again.
Yeah.
Most likely, the last 2 years we've had less than ideal weather, and so that makes us think, well, maybe we should shift the dates a little bit and move them, you know, closer to summer.
Mm-hmm.
This ends up being the last weekend of fall, and that's sort of piqued your interest in doing it on a date. But it also, we got some kind of freaky winds, which were the breezes were offshore. Which
yeah, I guess they shifted before we got up there, the way I understand
well,
it. I was talking. Yeah.
Yeah. There was a good flying to be had.
Yeah,
They shifted offshore, and that makes it uncomfortable for flying
the beach and everything.
For flying the
yeah.
beach, yeah. So
yeah.
You're more concerned about that. So,
yeah.
But we don't know. It's we could do it another year on the same set of dates for the last weekend of summer and end up with fantastic weather.
Well, I didn't think it was all that bad. I mean, we got. I had several flights in. It was cool, but that's to be expected this time of year and everything. But overall,
and the truth of the matter is, you and I, we met up at some fly-ins this year, and,
yes.
and I've gone to more this year than in past. And all the fly-ins have, they have spots where it's not perfect.
Right.
And
yes. Exactly.
Yes, there's plenty of flying. It seems like at all of them too. So.
Yeah. And as I talked to you before, hey, you start playing the weather and you will not go to a fly-in. And that's the thing that I learned there at the beginning of the year. And it's like, okay, I'm just going to go, And you're right. You're exactly right. So, well, cool, man. I look forward to next year. It's on my calendar. And like I said, y'all put on a fabulous show. And, of course, a lot of the guys, like you said, that I've been flying with all summer was there. So that even made it really nice. So, so everybody can really talk about my bean field incident. But anyway, I'm not going to talk about that no more. So.
What's interesting about this is that this is a real airport and that people have hangars there and they have planes there and there's infrequent flights, but there are flights that come and go. And yet they look forward to having us out there. So that makes it a real treat for us.
Yes, and that's the impression I got when I was talking to him on Friday night that, please, you're welcome. And it was, I think everybody really felt welcome. I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, I talked to you about it earlier, and of course, until you actually go and you go, wow, And the first time I went up, it was like, wow. It was beautiful. Guys, I put a little YouTube thing on it. It's just unbelievable to see that big old lake and the bay and the houses and then, that airport's like, man, it's like in the middle of, wow. I mean, I'm surprised somebody hadn't like condo over it yet,
Well, that's what they want. I mean, there's an element in town as probably not so much now because of the, they could build condos, but no one would buy them.
Yeah.
But in the past, when real estate was hot, of course, these guys would show up a lot of the township meetings and say, geez, look at this airport. There's only this many flights out of there a month. And, this would look a lot better as soccer fields or condos.
Right.
And I think they recently redo their lease. So.
Maybe that's who I was talking to him about. I read something about where he was talking about where they – how everybody kind of joined together to keep the airport selling. I hope it stays there for a long time. Yeah, as I said, we had talked to you earlier, and he said, you're always welcome to come up. PPGers, PPCs, you're always welcome to come up. And plenty of, it was a tent area. There was even a restroom there. Man.
There is a restroom.
No porta potty. Yes, baby. There you go. That's five star now, see? You just made it a five star fly-in.
That's right. And they have LL Gas, which is very popular with 100LL, which is very popular with you guys.
Yes.
And you guys fly the red machines. You gotta spray that in the tank.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. So, but yeah,
that's true. And just to reiterate that if anybody wants to come up here, you don't need me or any of us to invite you. You just get a hold of Brian. Brian Fredericks, and I can pass that information on.
Okay.
I don't have it on me right now, but they can get a hold of me.
Yeah.
And just say, you know, this is so and so, and we'd like to come up and camp on site for a day or two and do some flying. And chances are he'll say, perfect. I'll meet you there. I'll show you where to set up and
excellent.
Anything you need. So it's in the summertime. It's a fantastic bargain because that's an area that is the campgrounds would typically be all packed.
Yeah, yeah.
And because it's a resort area.
Yeah.
And the motels would be packed, and you could camp for free.
Oh, that's sweet.
Within 2 miles of the beach.
Of the beach, yeah. That is sweet. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can't say enough, guys. If you go to www.park-township-airport.com, you can get more information and stuff. And like I said, Terry, you can get in touch with him if you're interested, and he can get you in touch with Brian. So, but Terry, I just want to ask you about that, or tell you about that. Thank you for inviting me, and I'm sure a lot of the people over there have really enjoyed. Like I said, it's on my schedule for next year. Now, how's the Cheap Trike business going? How's I think I saw 40 horse. You're always doing something. I'm trying to figure out the YouTube video when you were showing the hub, though. It was just a hub.
Oh, you know, the hub thing was the crazy music. What happened was there's a guy in Australia that was interested in buying a hub for a project.
Oh, okay.
And it was a funny thing. He just wanted to buy the driven hub, the big hub.
Really? Okay.
Right, and so I had taken some pictures, tried to attach them to an email. Well, he got back to me and said, "I can't open those." And I just use Yahoo and I attach it to my emails and shipped it over there like I would to anybody. He couldn't open them, and I'm not really that clever so I didn't really know how else to do it. I mean, I didn't know how to zip them up or anything else.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
So I said, "Well, I'll take this video, and anybody can open YouTube."
Yes.
So I just threw it on YouTube, and that was just for him.
Okay.
So.
All right. I was like, okay, Terry.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to call him and ask him about this. No motor, just the hub.
I'm sure he's seen it by now, although he didn't buy one, so I'm not sure what.
Oh, see.
It was probably a wasted effort. So.
Yeah. Well, okay. All right. I feel better about it now. I thought maybe I need to open up something else.
Oh, no. But, you thought you missed something important.
Oh, yeah.
You did.
Yeah. Make a call quick, you know. All right. We saw the far-breeding 40 horse. What's going on with that?
Well, it was an interesting project. It is an interesting project. In fact, at the same time I was doing that, I had the 31-horsepower Vanguard engine I was working on.
Yeah.
And so they were both in my shop at the same time. The Vanguard engine was done. It was complete. I was waiting for the guy to come up for training. Again, that being 31 horse. And so I bought this engine from a web seller. Actually, has an eBay store.
Yeah.
I'm speaking of the 40 horse.
40 horse, okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And so, and that's how he markets it, 40 horse. It's a Generac 990, a GH990 they call it. And I didn't do a whole lot more research. I read his web page, and I talked to him on the phone. I liked the guy, so I just bought the engine.
Okay.
And he did a couple of mods for me and that I wanted. But it's all external stuff, just like a wiring pigtail and some exhaust stubs that I want. So I got it here, and I started, and I showed you the pictures and the thing running on the floor.
Yeah, all right.
Eventually, I got it mounted up. This has been sold to a guy in, actually, I bought it on request. A guy in West Virginia, or I'm sorry, Virginia, had requested that engine. That's what sort of got me moving on it. And, of course, he was lured in by the 40 horsepower as well. And so here it is, running. I mounted on a trike buggy.
Right.
And before I got it powder coated, I had it all together, and I decided to fly it for a while just to see. It's all new, and I just want to see what's going on. I'm using the same redrive I always use.
Right.
The 23 horsepower, the 31 horsepower, the 40 horsepower, all the same redrive. And the difference, the 31 horse Vanguard, I was using a prop, a 66 inch prop versus the 64 I normally use.
Uh-huh.
And so what happened was I was flying the 31. And I didn't have a prop in for the 40 horse yet. I thought, well, I'll just put that on the 40 horse and I'll run it.
Right.
And I can always increase the pitch, or adjustable blade, and I can increase the pitch, and I'll get by with my testing. Well, I put it on there.
Yeah.
I switched it from one engine to the other, and the 40 horse, so-called, could not spin it as fast as the 31 I took it off from.
Really? And it was smaller. No. It was a smaller prop, right? It was a 64 or was it 66?
Same size prop. It was on the 31.
Oh.
But the 40 horse should have spun it fast.
Right.
That's my point.
Right. Okay.
And
okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah. And so, to me, that's like a dynamometer. I mean, that is a power measurement right there.
Right.
Yeah, so I called the guy up and I said, you know, dude, the motor you sold me, it isn't 40 horse. And I said, I don't really care.
Right.
Because the price was the same or less than the 31 Vanguard I had bought.
Okay.
But you just should know. It's just not a 40 horsepower motor. Or the Vanguard I bought is you know, 9 more horse than I, or 10 more horse than I think I got.
Huh.
And, but he stuck with the story. He says, well, it's 40 horse, so you're doing something wrong. and so originally I was marketing this, or, you know, I was, as I do, I talk about things.
Right.
In advance, and I was calling it a 40 horse. And I've since gone back on that. The guy who bought the thing, I had to call him right away and say, you know, this is not 40 horse. This is 30, 31, 32, whatever.
Yeah.
And, so that's what it is. I can't change it. I'm just called a big block because it's a bigger block than the one.
So it is a bigger block motor, though.
Yeah, I mean it's bigger than the 23.
Yeah.
And of course it has a noticeably better performance on the 23.
Uh-huh.
Both of the larger engines did.
Yeah.
But it's just not 40.
It's not. Well, okay. So that's okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So, but how the project actually turned out was, it's not done yet. It's a trike buggy project.
Yeah.
Which is probably my last one. I'm probably not going to do any more trike buggies, but this one is kind of a special one. It's going into, powder coating. I'm going to powder coat, they're stainless steel, and we're going to powder coat the whole thing kind of a fire engine red.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, right over the stainless. It's going to be a unique, the only one, like it, I'm sure. And, then this is going to I'll be in here by the weekend. I'll have it together, and then early next week, the guy will get together for training.
Yeah.
And it'll be his. So yeah, so it's a nice performer, nice smooth engine, and
okay.
I'm sure I'll build more of them. So,
so it's actually it's the same horsepower, but is what you're saying is your regular 30, your regular big block. So okay, so
yeah,
there's,
I mean,
no
the
40.
The
it's
brake,
just
it's,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
You know, and it's, the guy, somebody else called me about the engine. He had seen the same seller, and he said, "Would you know? Could you build me one of this 40 horsepower?" And I said, "Well, that's Iowa horsepower." Not Michigan horse.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they even make a 40 horse in that four stroke configuration?
Well, what I said before I bought the engine, I should have just gone to the website and pulled up Generac and looked at the 990 engine, which is I think that's referencing the CCs the 990 does.
Okay.
And they have charts there that give the horsepower, and there's some variation of charts, but they're all in the low 30s.
Low 30s, right?
So
okay.
What the guy was telling me, yeah. So what the guy was telling me that 40, he just
okay.
I don't know where he gets the number from.
Yeah. Okay.
And he's a heck of a nice guy. In fact, there's another home builder that called me that wants to use another engine that this guy sells, which is a 44 horse.
Oh.
And I said, well, you know, he's a nice seller, and
you
get the engine
sure?
and a packaged up good, but that 44 horse that he saw might be Iowa horsepower too. So be aware.
Yeah. Well, exactly. That makes you wonder, you know.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. But well, it's a nice engine. I think I'm very happy with it. So.
Well, cool. 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 Yeah. Well, guys, go to cheaptrikeflyer.com if you're interested in a Terry Lucky special there. Any other things going down? Or it's funny because all year I've seen the prototype. Terry's been bringing a prototype to or his original flyer to the fly-ins, and I actually got a chance to see a nice, well, two or three brand spanking new ones, and it was like, wow. So very nice setup.
Yeah, thank you. I had the opportunity to have three of them at the the show in Holland, they were sold units that were, I didn't dare fly them, but they were sold units that that were, you know, basically 0 hours and getting ready to ship out.
Ship out and everything, yeah. Oh, you did get, wait a minute, there was a quad YouTube, I think, too, of some kind of running together there. You got us on that one, too, so. You remember that you put them all together and say quad buggies or quad something, and they were all running.
Oh, the four of them. Yeah. The four. Did like, somebody order a quad or a quad of? You know what it is. The whole thing is about this crazy argument about four wheels versus three wheels.
Yeah.
And
that's hilarious. I was like, that's funny. All right. Well, cool, man. Anything else going on at the Cheap Trike?
Not so much in that world. We were threatening to maybe do some training in the south this year, trying to get away from some of the Michigan snow. But that's an undeveloped idea so far.
Ongoing, so all right. Yeah. Well, if you make any decisions, I'll have you come on and tell everybody, hey, you're going to be down south and stuff. So.
Yeah, I'd really appreciate that if I could.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's no problem at all. Well, Terry, I'll keep it short, man. I wanted to talk to you about the Holland, Michigan. Just get back with you on it and tell you thank you a lot and see what was going on. I'm always looking at your YouTube. I'm a subscriber to your YouTube. It's like, let's see, what is he doing now? So, but thank you for your time. And, well, I'm sure I'll talk to you again, man. You're a regular now. Okay. I'm just letting you know, you're a regular, so.
Well, I'm glad you called, and thanks for your interest in all this. I really appreciate it. I'm glad you came to the fly-in.
Oh, yes, absolutely, man, absolutely. All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks. Have a good night.
Right. Well, there you go, Terry Luckey. Definitely go check out CheapTrikeFlyer.com and check out his YouTube spot. He's always got something going on where he's working on. So he's a regular. I always enjoy talking to Terry. One of the guys I met this year at the fly-ins that I went to a very nice guy. He knows a lot of information there. So. And also I'd like to thank Michelle Danielle for coming on and giving us information about Wings. And you got to check out those DVDs. Like I said, go to Paramotor City. Google Paramotor City. She's out west, Albuquerque, New Mexico. So Paramotor City West. And lots of information. We just kind of skimmed the surface talking today. So anyway, we're going to end there. And like I said, thank you again for listening. Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio.